You are now tuned into Accelerate to Great Podcast with Nehemiah Davis, a podcast for aspiring and established entrepreneurs looking for their next level of greatness.
Guys, what's up, everybody? I'm super duper excited about today's podcast. I am literally bringing you today, in my eyes, in the world's eyes, one of the greatest marketers in the world. And this man took a minute out of his time to come on this podcast to share some knowledge with you. You probably seen him on YouTube beating on his chest. You probably seen him in Facebook targeting you, following you all day long until you're getting involved with his amazing community. You probably just seen this marketer around literally changing lives. And I just want to say I had the opportunity less than a month ago to spend a day with him in San Diego for a yacht mastermind. When I say it was next level, the people who I got to meet, the company culture that I got to experience inside Billie Jean's office, and just Billie Jean as a whole is an amazing individual. So you guys already know I have to bring some of the greatest people to the world to our stage to teach you how to get to the next level. So as we're learning, as we're growing, we got to reach out to the next people. So I want to say welcome, Billie Jean, to Accelerate the Great. I am super, super duper happy to have you here, and I'm just excited for everything in our future and your future.
Well, first of all, the introduction was wonderful. I could I can listen to it all day, man. I appreciate the kind words. I think whenever you hear an introduction about yourself, you're like, it always sounds way cooler than what you are. So like, just to set everybody's expectations right, I'm not that great, but those are fantastic things to be said.
yeah, listen to me. Listen, a lot of us already know your backstory. I don't want to go too deep. I like giving people that meat and that nuggets. But if you could share with us a couple minutes of the background, just to give people a little context to where you came from and letting people know that if you can do it, anyone can do it.
Yeah, you know, grew up, born and raised in San Diego, California, and been here my whole entire life. My parents actually grew up here too. Shout out to my parents. Definitely heroes in regards to, you know, both grew up on welfare and they were able to provide a really solid life for me. I got really lucky. I was able to go to private Catholic, you know, high school and middle school and in college at the University of San Diego, which I did not graduate from. Came out of college, had a mobile oil change company that didn't go well. Long story short, I ended up checking people in at 24-hour fitness. Both my partners went on to do something else. So during the day, I would go out and I would change oil all day in my coveralls with this van and run around the city doing that. And then at night to pay my bills, because I wasn't making any money from that, I would check people in at 24-hour fitness while still trying to schedule appointments to change oil. Once all that went to shit, my car got towed with all my stuff in it because I was just kind of crashing on homies' houses. And then I ended up at a call center because I needed a quote-unquote real job that paid me consistently. And I did. And, you know, I was making, I think my salary was about $38,000. And it was the best feeling ever when I first got there, because I felt like I just went through this fucking 4 years, 3 years, however long it was, of just failure, always wondering where money was going to come from. Like, it was just the craziest thing. It was exhausting. So when I actually got that check, it was like, hold on a sec. This is the greatest thing ever. And then after being there for so long, I found that the CEO of the company made $25 million in a year. I quit. I said, I got to figure out this internet thing, because it's obviously changed the world and changed the way that people learn. And so long, long story short, I ended up licensing this quit smoking program. Wow. And it was all online. And so I started a company called Rethink and Relive. And I resold this online quit smoking program, because if you can change the way you think, you can change your life. And so that was it. And trying to sell these courses is how I stumbled into Facebook advertising. And when I did that, I fell in love with it. I got addicted. I parted ways with that company. I was back at my parents' house. I started from scratch and I said, well, damn. I'm at my parents' house again. I'm in my 20s. I'm embarrassed. My friends are all doing well, like financial careers. They're buying houses and getting married and all this shit. And I'm this motherfucker who thought he was an entrepreneur that's back at mom's house. But the difference was this time is that I had a skill set. I could run Facebook ads to actually get customers for a business. And that changed everything for me. So I started an agency out of my mother's house, my dad's house, their house, my parents' house. And there you go.
That's good. So Billy, starting an agency, you literally get started essentially with no money, with a laptop and a Wi-Fi. Would you say?
Yeah, 100%.
So real quick, because again, I'm big on tangibles. Someone wants to start an agency tomorrow. What's the first step you were going to tell them to go take? Like, hey, I'm ready to go all in. I want to start this agency. I want to run ads for people. I want to help people get customers. First, you're probably going to say you need to get clicks to customers, but after that, you can do it on your own. What would you tell someone?
I tell you, people, and this is the biggest fucking mistake that I only see. Well, you see it everywhere, but it's, you see it specifically in business, and it's alarming. The first thing you do if you want to start a fucking digital marketing agency is you learn how to market online. And I say that because so many people literally skip the entire education, because at the very basic, simplified level, people think social media marketing is just posting stuff on pages. They don't understand direct response advertising and all the technical shit, the persuasion and all the science that goes in between it. They just see the surface level. So they believe that they can just get into it by selling old people on posting on their page. And it's the most ignorant shit ever. So just like you and I, if we said, well, you know what, let's go out and let's be doctors. The first step wouldn't just be to go get a building, put a doctor sign up and say, we'll figure it out. Because we would kill people, literally. And that's what these people are doing. When you're marketing, people are relying on you to bring them customers. When you're not doing that, you are killing their business because they don't have enough sales to fill the business. And so then you put their family at risk, and you should take it just as seriously. So the first step is to own the fact you're not going to make any fucking money. You're going to be broke. The same fucking mentality that when you go to college and you own the fact that, well, I'm gonna be in debt for 4 years. I'm gonna eat top ramen. And everybody knows it. Yeah. And you accept it and you embrace it. The fucked up part was they taught us a bunch of stuff we didn't need to learn. So that was bad. But that mentality of owning it is the same thing when starting your digital marketing agency. Hey, well, it's gonna take me years to actually get this stuff.
Right.
It's gonna take me years.
And it's crazy you say that. I always say, look, I didn't finish college. I got kicked out of high school, got kicked out of college, fired from 10 jobs. Dad been in jail since I was 2.
Wait, hold up. What'd you get kicked out for?
I got kicked out of college, but my man choked up some dudes and I was hanging with them. So I didn't happen to hang with them that day though. But they said, yo, we always see you hanging with them. And I had a 1.95. That didn't help it any. So they said, hey, you can't come back. So that's how that happened. But what I realized in college, man, they was teaching me, I was taking business, but why did you make me take a theology class? Like, it just makes no sense to me in the world that you're teaching me how to start a business. I'm learning how to start a business from someone who never had one, first off. And then I'm taking theology when I'm trying to be a business major. So,
well, dude, it's how you control the masses, and it's how you control people that grow up in poverty. So when you grow up in a desperate situation, I don't care if you're Black, Mexican, white, whatever, if you grew up truly poor, then what you realize is there's a big time lack of education. And where you get a lot of your information from are from media outlets such as TV, radio, and everything that comes in between. Well, on the radio and televisions, all you see are these advertisements for these universities that's like, go to college, get a degree, get a job. And you don't question the system because you just understand that's just kind of what it is. But for some reason, we don't step back and assess the fact that if you and I want to learn how to open up a business, we do know that we go to college to get a business degree, but we don't do exactly what you said, which is take a step back and say, hold on a second. Why are you forcing me for the first 2 years of this degree to learn about everything else outside of business that's not applicable to what I want to do, but costs just as much money? Oh, because you want to make more money. That's what it is. So you send out these messages that this is what you're supposed to do. This is a requirement. So y'all get paid and we can get more fucked. And then we can pay out debt for 20, 30 years with interest. Come on now. Come on now.
One of my favorite quotes is from Walt Disney. He said, observe what the masses do and do the opposite. And again, guys, we're not telling you that school is bad, but I remember on a boat, you said, listen to me, if you want to be a doctor, school is for you. But if you want to be a marketer, if you want to do things that advertisement, e-com, you can literally go buy a course. You could go study, get a mentor, pay for coaching, pay for masterminds, and learn as much as you can. And then eventually you can remove the L so you can earn.
And
so,
think about this. If you and I decide, you know, fuck it, let's open up a restaurant today.
Yeah.
The logical thing, if we didn't know about this, if we weren't brainwashed, we would say, oh, cool, let's go find some restaurant owners and see what they're doing. That's what our brains would do. But then they created this message of, oh, let's go get a business degree and talk about everything else except nothing about restaurants. Think, If we opened a restaurant and went to college for a business degree or an MBA, we would learn nothing about operating a restaurant. My school, University of San Diego, $40,000 a year. $40,000 a year. By the time that's $160,000. By the time you got the interest on all that, it's $200,000. Not including the cost to like live and all that other shit in between there. Quarter of $1 million gone. And how much do I know about opening a restaurant?
Nothing.
You if know that's what not the biggest legal scam in the world, I don't know what it is.
You know what I've been saying, Billy? I'm like, yo, the best way to start a business is by starting. You know what I mean? And another thing, I was like, how do you learn how to swim? You can't learn how to swim unless you fully submerge yourself in the water and do it every day. And over time, you're going to get better. You're going to learn new tricks. So yeah. I'm happy that you kind of touched on this. And guys, we're not telling you don't go to college, but we are saying there's other alternatives that you can take right now where you can learn in a year and instantly be able to get to some money if you apply to practice.
And focus on, like, again, you keep sending the message. You're right. It's not about not going to college. It's about really paying attention to what you're learning, right? If the curriculum to college changed, I'd be all about it. If the courses were relevant, if the structure changed, 100%, because I'm all about education. I'm probably the most passionate person about education. But actually learning stuff that's going to move people forward is huge. And you also just said something huge. You said the swimming pool example. Something that I see entrepreneurs do all of the time is they want full-time results with part-time effort, meaning I'm just going to do this entrepreneurship thing on the side. I'm going to just test it out a little bit while I do this. No, motherfucker. If you guys ever have been to a swimming pool, the worst thing you can do or the biggest thing that's going to stop you from ever swimming is going up to the pool and then putting your big toe in. And then when you put your big toe in, you go, oh, shit, that's cold. Yeah. I'm not going in there. Then your brain goes into a whole different state. And it's just thinking about the fucking feeling of how bad it's going to feel. But if you just walked up to the pool and you did a cannonball, you'd be over, you'd be swimming, you'd pick it up three times faster. And sometimes you'd be by the ledge and one of your big brothers will come behind you and push your ass in. And that's called getting fired from your job and being forced into entrepreneurship. And sometimes that's the best thing in the world for people.
Yeah. And let me say something, Billy, again, I'm still not where I am, where I want to be. That's why I'm still grinding, hustling, figuring it out every day. But I haven't had a job in a long time. And I tell people it's not because I'm this incredible entrepreneur. I don't think I'm incredible. I don't think I'm super smart. But at that time, I made a decision that this has to work or it has to work. I'm willing to die if this doesn't work. And the problem with most people is they be like, well, if it don't work, you already done fell. You know, they planning a plan B. Well, my plan B, soon as you say you're planning a plan B, I know you are willing to fail. And there's nothing wrong with fail, but you already setting up the mentality that you don't actually believe what you're saying is going to actually work. So how is it going to work? So when people like, oh, my plan B is, well, I already see that you may not make it with your plan A because you are already giving yourself a backup plan.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
So I think going all in is key.
And the sacrifices, I think all entrepreneurs, I think what an entrepreneur is just the ability to eat shit for long periods of time. Truly. I don't think it's anything to do with the intelligence level. I don't think it's anything to do with like high GPAs. It's just people who are willing to fucking sacrifice longer than the next guy or girl. The person who's most willing to be uncomfortable for the longest period of time will win.
Gotcha. That's good. So I want to fast forward a little bit. I'm a little jumping around, but when I came into your office, the company culture, absolutely incredible. I mean, I never seen nothing like it. The huddles every day to just everybody on one page, no attitudes, no egos. We all chasing that one goal, which is to provide value for other people and always over deliver. Someone who's just building their company, just got a couple new employees. How do you develop that company culture from the very beginning? Because I know
it took
years, I believe. Don't know to get your company culture where it is, but I want to fast pace it. Again, we're on Accelerate the Great. So we're trying to hop into the brain, learn from Billy. How do you create that company?
The biggest thing with culture is to treat others how you want to be treated. And I want people to think about this because it sounds cliche, but I'm going to dive into it a little bit more. What happens is when you're running your company, and especially when you're just kind of getting started, there is this arrogance and ignorance that comes attached with that. And there is a sense of overpride where you feel some certain type of way because it's your company. And what happens is you start to carry this resentment that oh my gosh, like, you know, I hired you. So like, I own you in some sorts. I see owners do that, or kind of like, you know, it's this. And the second that you start doing that is the second that you start treating people less than a human being who's just as equal as you. Your entrepreneurs, you're just as lucky for someone working with you, not for you, with you, as they are to the fact that you are working with them. It goes both ways, and it's a 50-50 relationship. And once you own that principle and everyone in the company realizes that's what it is, they're more willing to go all out. It's easier to share common goals, common visions, when there's not this hierarchy of, look at me, I'm so cool. And it's just, we're all human beings trying to do something. Next is, you got to have a very clear mission of what you're trying to do. And that's changed, because again, I started with zero, right? But as I was bringing in people, I'll be honest with you, the mission in the beginning was to make enough money to work from our computers and do cool shit all day and like go to the beach or like have a drink and like chill and still be able to make money. Listen, that's not the most noble thing, but we were running an agency and it was just fucking, that was it. But as you grow, what happens is, one of my mentors, Jim Bunch, pointed this out to me, is you kind of have three, imagine if there's a pyramid, y'all can see me on video, there's a pyramid, right? And there's three layers within this pyramid in regards to human, I'll call it human needs, right? And at the bottom of this pyramid is people operating out of need, meaning they're making all of their decisions just to survive. Everything they do in their life is just to survive. You want to make enough to be able to pay your rent, pay your bills, have enough to eat and drink, and not stress about it. Once you get out of the needs department, you escalate into the wants. And then the wants section is like the cars, the whips, the vacations, the shit, you know, that makes you proud, but you probably don't need, but it feels good and it brings some happiness temporarily. But then the top layer that a lot of people never reach is fulfillment. And you reach that by values, which is the top layer. So you got values, right? You got your wants, and then you got your needs. And when you're very clear on your values, and then that's the first time you'll feel fulfilled and you actually can achieve like real happiness in my mind. Yeah. And so keeping that in mind of where you're at as a company, like in the beginning, like shit, it's all about the needs. The fucking culture was, yo, we need to fucking get great at this shit because we got fucking bills to pay. You want to make more money? I want to make more money. And it was like, all right, cool. We're making a little bit of money. Like, well, you want to do this cool shit and let's bring on company benefits and all these things. And then as we're kind of surpassing that and we kind of have a foundation and there's, you know, 27 people or whatever there may be, now it's like, we need a bigger mission that drives us beyond fucking money. And that's, let's radically change this education system because of everything that we've been talking about today. And that's when you have that kind of clarity, it goes beyond me motivating the team. Everybody realizes that every day we come here and we change lives and we enable people and we empower people, even if they're in the darkest of the places. If they have a fucking computer and a cell phone, they can change their lives dramatically, and we equip them with the tools to do that. That's a message that your customers get behind. That's when your shit starts getting viral. That's when you start getting raving fans, and that's when you really start building a movement and everything changes.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So I know you this year, I don't know, but I know you spent well over six figures in mentorship and coaching. Yeah. Because a lot of people, they're under this misconception that coaches don't need coaches, or when you get to the level that you're at, it's like, well, I could keep going. But I know,
hey, watch this. Said no successful person ever.
Right. Yeah. So already know, you know, what got you from six figures, you know, what got you to six to seven ain't going to get you from seven to eight and eight to nine. So could you share with us those moments? What would you say was that thing that got you six to seven and seven to eight, whether it's a certain mindset,
Good question. So what gets you to six figures, and six figures to me is, it's the hardest part and it's the grimiest. It's like when you're really in that shit and it's, let me explain to you what happens when you're on your journey to six figures. And just as a company overall, not even like what you take home, but just like trying to get to that like 100K a year mark. There's really not enough money in the company to pay bills. There's definitely not enough to compete in regards to salaries and shit to recruit people. Your friends and family don't call your business a business. They act like it's your pet project or your side thing. nobody believes in you or supports you. They're kind of just give you those jokes of like, why don't you get a real job? So you have the least amount of support that you've ever had. You feel probably the loneliest. Well, you feel lonely multiple times, but you feel extremely lonely. And also too, you're at the beginning of the journey. So skill wise, you're also probably at your lowest. You don't know. So you have everything stacked against you. That's why it's so important to understand that and embrace the fucking journey, because it's just what the fuck is required to get to the next level. So mindset wise, again, going back to that whole lesson, like you got to eat shit for a while. That really happens in that six figure stage, like trying to get there. And you got to have thick skin. You got to have confidence. Confidence is going to be your fucking best friend. You got to have a, you have to have crazy belief in yourself that there, but also too, at the same time, there's a lot of woo-woo people out there that believe just because they believe they're going to quote unquote manifest their way into success. Manifest these nuts. The only thing that's really going to allow you is you got to have that drive that I'm talking about, right? But you got to have the fucking skills. The skill, you heard it a million times, skills pay the bills. Meaning,
facts.
The doctors make doctor money because they save fucking lives. The lawyers make lawyer money because they keep your ass out of jail. What the fuck can you do? If wow. you don't have a skill, that's why you're broke. Your ability to do something that others cannot do or will not do, it dictates your income to the max. My income is the way it is right now because in regards to business, I can do a lot of shit that other motherfuckers can't. In regards to sales, marketing, I understand like the tech side, I understand video, I'm right. Like I have skills and they didn't come overnight. They were worked. I just picked them up piece by piece. It's just like if y'all were to play NBA 2K, you build your player doesn't start off nice. You know, you gotta build them up piece by piece, and that's really the game. So six or seven figures, or just going to six figures, excuse me, is all about the skill set, actually getting good at something, and then learning about sales, how to sell those things.
That's good. Next up, I want to ask you, because I know you tell me one mentor, $7,500 a month, I want to say, for a 90-minute call or maybe two 90-minute calls, what is the most profound piece of advice would you say you've taken from your mentor at that level?
Yeah, you know,
I want to be able to pay you that much. I want to be able to pay somebody at that level, you know.
You know what it is? Is
you money or influence or impact.
Yeah, and so it's all relative, right? So like the $7,500, dude, if you told me that at one point in my life, I'd go like, I would never pay $7,500 for anything at any time. But what happens is as your overhead gets higher and there's more things going on, right? So for example, you know, we got construction under process right now for these three offices. We got, you know, our entire team that's relying on this place generating income and their significant others and the people that are in their lives. And so when you understand the weight and responsibility that comes with it, you realize that your tolerance for mistakes goes down to like zero. And what I mean by that is when I was just me by myself, if I were to make a mistake in business, who really gives a fuck? I'm already living at my mom's house anyway. What am I going to do? Live more at my mom's house? Like, you know what I mean? Like nothing really bad can happen. I'm already fucking in this shit. What am I going to do? Not be able to afford to eat out? Motherfucker, I can't afford it now. You got nothing to lose. But now I decide to make a critical business decision that steers us in the wrong course, that cuts our revenue in half. People lose jobs, right? I fucking lose shit. And, you know, there's just a lot. The mistakes are costly. So you pay someone $7,500 who's already been there and has taken a company from $2 million to $100 million and has already seen a lot of the mistakes that we've done, and you pay them to avoid those mistakes. So I can give you an example of little things that I just wouldn't have thought about. So like with Cameron, he tells us, he says, you know, how much like credit do you guys have available for your company? And we're like, I don't know, like X amount. And he's like, why? I was like, well, we don't fucking need a camera if we're doing good right now. And he's like, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard. He's like, you're supposed to get credit when shit's going good, because every business owner waits to get credit when shit goes bad. And then the banks go, fuck you. I'm not loaning you any money. Look at your stuff. So you build it up and stack it now. So we implemented that, you know, a year ago, so to speak. And now all of a sudden we got fucking cards for days, line of credits, banks calling us, cool cards. And now I can sit here, and even if we're using it or not using it, know that if shit did go bad, we're good. Because I got these fucking lines of credits that are making it available. And then also there's other things that a lot of tax benefits and things. There's just, you just don't know. You don't know. That's the biggest thing to remember in business. You don't know. You think you know, but if you fucking knew, you'd have it like that.
Wow.
So everybody needs to hear that. If you fucking knew, you'd have it like that. I mean, as too many times I see people in the startup, like entrepreneur phase, you come with all this confidence. Motherfucker, if you knew, your bank account would stack differently. You'd be driving a different whip. Your lifestyle would be different. If you knew, you would have it like that.
Wow. That's crazy.
You stubborn fucking asshole.
That's crazy. So what do you say to a person? Because there's a lot of people who they know they want it, but they don't want to invest the time. They don't want to invest the money. They may, like, I didn't hesitate to go to that mastermind. That was worth my time, worth me flying to Philly. But you got a lot of people, like, oh, do I really want clicks to customers? Do I really want this? How do you get them from, do I really want, what pushes, is it a mental thing? Because I'll be trying to tell people, like, yo, this will help you grow. But they still like, I'll wait another week. I'll wait 2 weeks. You've been waiting this long, this far, haven't gotten you far. Why don't we take action now? So I've been trying to think, can you teach someone, Billy, how to execute quick? You said your mentor told you that you implemented it fast. Yeah. So when my mentors tell me stuff, I listen to you, I try to implement on it quick because I know it will get me results.
Right. Biggest thing that holds people back is fear, right? People are afraid to invest because they're like, well, what if it doesn't? Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's a great question, man. And I think the hardest part about it is, unfortunately, as human beings, sometimes pain is the only form of communication that wakes us up. Mm. And sometimes people that are really stubborn have to understand that they have to go through pain. They have to collect those L's. And then once they do, maybe they've experienced enough pain that they don't want to go through the pain again, and they try it. And then the challenge is there's so much bullshit in the industry is that when people do get the courage to say, fine, let me ask for help. Well, then they get linked up with a clown and they go, well, that's stupid. That's why I didn't do it in the first place. And it reinforces the bullshit that they told themselves in the first place. Right. Wow. And so really it's just educating people on with things like this and the podcast that we're having now and having these conversations and showing that it's real. And what really got me addicted to the world of coaching is that I paid somebody to help me with something and it fucking worked. I made more money. And so I wanted to do it again. And also too, everybody remember, like, if you're one of those who's just, you can't get out of the limiting belief of there, I encourage you to buy a book about the greatest problem that you're facing. You suck at sales, buy a sales book, one of the best ones, and literally see how much it impacts you. And then tell yourself, well, fuck, if this $10 investment could get me this kind of return, what would happen if I invested more? So you kind of get people started with those micro wins. And that's why I got, like, you know, thousands of videos out there educating people, because I want to show them, well, look, motherfucker, I'm going to help you for free. Look how far you can get. Wow. But wait till you pay and really see what can happen. And so it's really experience that ultimately makes somebody have the shift. But to get them to be experienced, you gotta bring the resistance down. Right. So some people are like, you want to take somebody who's never invested in coaching before and then get them to invest $1,000. But the gap is so far. So you start them off and, like, we ran promotions where I give away just a flash drive for free. They just got to pay for the shipping, and the shipping has some of our best campaigns, some trainings from me and whatever. And guess what? I've had some people buy that flash drive for $5.95 for the shipping and then end up paying me $30,000. It just took them some time. You know, so it's one of those things you just have to kind of assess where people are at, and, you know, that's that.
What's your number one key to indoctrination for somebody?
Wait, who's and really quick before I run that question back to you, but something else I want to talk to you about, being black man to a black man. We really see this a lot in our community, man. Unfortunately, you know, there's a big time. Let's kind of figure it out ourselves. And there's a lot of pride that comes with the black male, especially. Yeah. Black women, they're way smarter than us. They're willing to ask for help and not be full of themselves. But as black men, we definitely have a tendency, I'm definitely stereotyping here, but to be on the overconfident side of, like, we'll figure it out. Because unfortunately for a lot of black males, that's what you've had to do your whole life to survive.
Yeah.
Right. I got lucky that my parents, like, you know, hooked me up, but there's a lot of people out there that don't have that. So their whole life has been by them pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. So the idea of, like, asking somebody for help is a sign of weakness. We got to educate our community that that's not at all. That's actually the key to growth, is by getting help.
Facts.
Even little shit like therapy. Everybody should be in therapy. Everybody should have a therapist to talk about their shit. But it's taboo. Motherfuckers want to, you know, I don't see a therapist. It's strength. Everybody wants to appear to be strong, but really it shows how weak someone is. So just educating the people, you know, one step at a time.
That's good. Because, like, for me, you know, making six figures, you know, is great, but I'm pushing to the seven. I need the seven, then I need the eight. I had it didn't even dawn on me. I said, hey, I sent it to my man Josh. I'm like, hey, we going here.
Yeah.
The tickets that this 2 days before you sent the email out 3 days before. I'm like, yo, we going here. It wasn't even a thought. Why? Because
that's why you're making money. Right? Is you've owned that mentality of like, fuck, an opportunity comes. You know, here's the best lesson for that is because you remind me of this, but there was a mastermind that I paid $18,000 for. Mm. For 2 days. And think about that. It's 18K for 2 days. And a lot of people, even probably people listen now, they're gonna be like, excuse me. Here's the thing. There were six of us there. And here's what I would tell you is the difference between the six people in that room than most people is most people, when they hear 18 grand, they go, well, what the fuck do you get for 18,000 bucks? But the six people in the room never ask that question. They say, what am I going to do in these 2 days to make sure that I take $18,000 worth of knowledge from? And they wouldn't even say 18,000. They'd say $36,000 worth of knowledge from.
Right.
See, some people come in life and they expect shit to happen to them. Winners will fucking win and losers will fucking lose. Winners say, well, I'm investing this money. It's my duty and obligation to make sure that I extract whatever the fuck I need to make this an extremely worthwhile investment.
That's good. Sidebar, because I seen on the story, was that the one in Vegas that I seen you and Jabril at?
No, me. Oh, I love, shout out to
like Jabril. Frank Kern. I was like, that was fire.
It was at his house. It was at his house. This was a different one. But I did also pay for that one.
So what would you say to profound, over your years of mastermind, and what has been a profound, because the thing that I'm learning, and again, some things with the masterminds, it's kind of like a reinforcement. Like, man, I actually heard it from Billy. He said, do this. I was doing this, but maybe I need to turn it up a little bit. So is anything you've been like, man, that was actually profound. I really, and you worked, you executed on it and it was like, man, I got my investment back quicker.
You know, you pick up all kinds of like side things. So for example, like also what I picked up at this, a couple of things, right? The people in the room, huge. So I'll give you a couple of stories about this, like the 18 grand. The one thing that I learned is how to put on an event that people pay 18 grand to go to and understand the expectations that they would have to be delivered at that. That's a huge value when I want to have a high ticket event. Another thing is the people in the room, like a close friend of mine now I met there, Katrina Ruth, and she's like speaking at my event coming up in October, and we've connected and she's given me strategies from our friendship that have made me money and probably me her too, and we've created content together. And she was just one person, you know, in the room. So there you go. And then just the tactics, the advanced level strategies, the more money that you're making, the fewer people that are alive that have experienced the same challenges. So being able to learn is huge. So I got a couple strategies from there, like high level strategies that I was able to implement into the business that made well over that amount of money, you know? So strategic relationships, and then just the event itself. You know what I mean? That's how I kind of go in. I was able to take all three things away.
Key. So from a high level entrepreneur like yourself, give me, we won't wrap this up shortly. Just share with me a few of your daily routines that you believe are essential for getting to that next level. I don't know if you do certain hacks in the morning, you read in certain books, you listen to certain things. Share with me some hacks that your personal favorite.
Man, I will say I am probably the worst at morning routines. Like, you know, I got a lot of people who are like great at them. There are some things I do and I'll talk about them in a minute. But I've never been really great at like making sure my mornings are perfect. I will say this, when I do them, those things that you typically hear, my morning is fucking way better. So I am a fan of it. but I'm also going to be real and say I'm not that great at it. Yeah. But one thing that I do, like some people say, like the worst thing that you can do is like get up to your phone and react. Well, my business has enough team members in it and process into it where I'm not getting reactive fucking emails. So when I look at my email, I don't have those feelings. I get to see like cool shit updates, things that I want to see and that I'm excited to see that I have a passion to learn. So I love grabbing my phone and I lay in the bed for like the first hour of my day and I go through all kinds of shit. I'm actually really creative and I'm productive when I first wake up. I'm just wired differently than people, okay? But the other thing is I have two conversations every morning. Almost every morning. One is with Ashley. Ashley sees every transaction that happens within our business. She has access to my personal accounts, my everything. Like she's really dialed in. So she sends me a text message every morning with what the company did the day before and personally what's going on with some things. So every single morning it's basically taking a temperature check on the health of my company and my personal finances to make sure nothing's in disarray. Her job is even included to protect my credit score. Because sometimes motherfuckers are like, hey, you have this water bill from your old place that you never paid the $30 for. We're going to fuck your credit up. What? Yeah. So like she has an assignment. So a very important conversation that we have. And also too, like if I look at the health of the business, I go, holy shit, it's the 15th and we're only at this number in sales. Like I need to do some additional and it allows me strategically to be able to play off of that. Next is Taylor. And Taylor runs like my daily schedule and like my life. So she'll give me an overview of the day. Of like, hey, Billy, here's what you have today. And then sometimes I got to call audibles. Like, no, I don't want to do that shit. No, I don't want to do that. So between those two, before I even like wake up and then like checking my own shit, I'm already like fucking jamming. You know what I mean? And then after that, I'll reach out to other people in different departments, like my CMO. I said, okay, cool. I've looked at the numbers. Here's what we need to do. Here, execute this. You know, our COO, hey, we need to get this process. I want to do this team culture. Who knocked this out? You know, so I have team. So my process is a little different than most people's. My favorite days is where I have nothing on my calendar to do. And it allows me, when I have those days, I just come inside and I sit with each department and we work on stuff. Sales guys, come in for the conference room. Let's recall it. Let's go listen to calls for an hour. Marketing team, let's have some fun. Let's go some live and think of some marketing strategies. My favorite days. So my goal is I try and keep my schedule clear as fuck. And I'm very, 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 very protective with my time. I say no to a lot of stuff. One thing you learned, like what goes from seven figures, eight figures, as I learned from Dean Graziosi, is that you say no to get to eight figures. You say no to a whole bunch of shit. So I love saying no to everything. And like, there's opportunities that come every day. We got people message us like, why won't you take our money? Because to take your money would cost us more money than when actually we would get, you know.
Wow, that's good. It's
off focus.
That's good. So it feels good to choose what you can accept versus I got to just accept everything. Like you said, getting to that six figures, bring it all in. I'll do anything.
Yes. Saying yes in the beginning.
So right now, 2018, you know, a lot of times, especially for us, like by the time speaking on African-American, sometimes by the time we get to something, it's old, it's outdated. It's like, bro, we was doing that 5-10 years ago. What is happening right now that people need to get on, like right, like to July, August 1st? Yeah. What do people need to get on now if they haven't?
Look, I really believe that people, paid advertising on social media is so affordable right now and it won't be for long. And what I mean by that is, the reason why the prices of social media are right now is because you have this industry that's trying to hold on to money, but it's dying. So for example, billboards, podcasts, television, those are still where majority of the like Fortune 1000 companies are allocating their budgets. Like, right, when there's billions, trillions of dollars that are out there, they're all going to these mediums that are dying. So what happens is over time, the billboard companies have to lower their price because they're just not going to get any business because of alternatives like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And so as this industry starts to die, becomes less effective, and people learn more about the social, the money from those industries is going to come into the social media side. And now all of a sudden, when someone was paying 10 cents, 25 cents, 50 cents for a click, that's going to turn into $5 because all of social media advertising is done on a bidding system, meaning people competing. So if there's more people competing and people are willing to outspend you, it's going to be hard for you to fucking come in. And people will talk about it like, man, remember when you used to be able to get clicks and leads for this? So people are functioning as if there's going to be this unlimited time and they can do this eventually. I hear the social media thing. I know I need to get on it. I'll do it. Every fucking day that you tell yourself, you're putting yourself at risk. Also, too, the speed at which these things changes, which is part of the reason why college can never be an infrastructure to learn because they don't move fast enough, can change like in weeks. There was a time when Facebook first introduced video ads, which everybody's seen a million times now. It was gone for a little bit. They put it out and then it was gone. I was like, well, fuck, that was a short run. Then they brought it back. Or maybe they just brought it back for some people and didn't. You have no control over that. So when something is working, you have to fucking hit and hit hard. Facebook used to give you the ability to advertise to people based on where they worked at. So if someone in their profile said, hey, I work at Billie Jean's Marketing Inc., you can advertise specifically to those people. They took it away. The people that fucking were able to run with it for a year, they fucking probably crushed it. The people that were like, I'll make my ads eventually, you lose. Speed is a fucking requirement right now. The pace at which you're moving is man, I'm pausing for dramatic effect because I want it to go through your audience's head. You slow, you die. You fucking, if you move slow, it's over. It's not just, it'll cost you. It will expel you. It will destroy you. You will not exist. You're not here. Get on it now.
Crazy. Woo! I'm ready to just end it with that. That was a strong bomb. Because I keep telling people, you got to start. You got to start. As long as you wait, it only gets worse. It only gets more difficult. I'm like, it's so many marketing strategies now. It's like, what to do? Like,
And when you guys are finding coaches and mentors, again, find the person who's really good at solving that one problem that you're having the most difficulties with. And that changes as you progress as an entrepreneur, right? Your problems will look different when you're starting than when they're 1 year in, et cetera. So find the person who solved that. And it's almost like you want to have a variety of mentors, right? You want to have the person who's three steps ahead of you. Then you want to have the person who's two steps ahead of you. You want to have the person who's one step ahead of you too. Because there's different advice that they can give. And sometimes people are too far out of the weeds to be able to serve you in the way that you want. And sometimes they might be in the perfect place or they just got a situation. You just really got to, do your homework and focus on solving specific problems, not all of your problems.
Got you. So two more questions. I'm going to get you out of here. YouTube or Facebook ads right now? If you said, Billy, we only could do one.
YouTube.
Tell me why.
Zigzag, everybody's doing Facebook. Well, not everybody. First of all, let me actually clear that up. Everyone thinks like, well, it's too late. Facebook's so common. No, it's not. It is still fucking nobody's doing it like the way that they need to. It's wide open. But secondly, relative to YouTube, because there's a barrier to entry, meaning you need videos to use in-stream ads, YouTube, because just everybody's hyped on Facebook. And I love when everybody's doing one thing and they're all, getting cute and learning that. I love to jump on the next thing. And then you can talk to me again in probably 2 years and you'd be like, Billy, what's up with YouTube? I don't know, man. I don't fuck with it no more. Like, I now mess with, stamps. I don't know. Like, whatever it may be, right?
So now, always keep your head on this. Now, as far as YouTube, give me a quick overview. When you say YouTube, are you putting this on competitor? Because I know I'll see you pop up in my YouTube. Is it blanket everyone or are you targeting specific
Targeting specifically, that's the other thing too. Like with the old mediums, like your billboard radio and shit, when you run ads, you have to just show it to whoever sees it. But what people don't realize is that when we run ad campaigns and our ads will be seen over a million times a day, it's not just seen a million times a day. It's seen a million times a day to fucking entrepreneurs who do this, who want this. And the way that we accomplish that is a couple ways. Number one, we use lookalike or similar to audiences, meaning we've generated a lot of leads over the last few years. So we upload those into YouTube and say, find us people who are similar to these people. There's one way that we do a lot of our targeting. Secondly, we do a lot of other entrepreneurs who have followings on YouTube because somebody has your audience. Everybody who's listening, somebody already has your customer. And you just need to, maybe you're a better fit for them. So, you got your Gary Vaynerchuk's out there and stuff and your other people, Ty Lopez and your Grant Cardone's. And, you see all these people in the industry. You realize that everyone's not going to like your shit. Right? Not everyone's going to like Billie Jean. Some people are listening to this and they're cringing right now because they hate me so much. Some people are listening to this and they're crying because this is my dude. Where have you been? You know what I mean? It's just what it is. So by other influencers, another big targeting way. And then the other one is search based on interest, like what people are actually searching for, how to advertise on Facebook, how to start a business, how to get more customers, shit like that. To give you an idea, we have literally probably 5,000 keywords and that we're advertising to. And I have three people whose full-time job is just to advertise for Billie Jean's Marketing, not the agency level, but just people whose sole job, they wake up, they breathe and figure out how to get more customers for us. And to do that, our ads are shown a lot. you know? And if you guys also, YouTube is the best for being remembered. When you're on Facebook and see people see your ads, you're also like above and below other distractions of other ads. People can scroll past you, but on YouTube in-stream ads, you can't skip it. You have to see me. So in regards to being remembered, which is a big part of building a long-term brand, not just quick money, YouTube has been the best bang for our buck. And our shit is seen all the time. I'm telling you, especially in this last year, but I'd say last 2 years, man, I don't remember a time I've been outside without being recognized. And it's all because of advertising. So right now, you guys, if you can figure out how to spend more money, if you can figure out how to spend more money than you're making, you can get paid to build your quote unquote celebrity. Like people are like, well, you're just spending that money in ads. Bitch, I'm making money. I'm making like $3 for every dollar that I spend. So what are you talking about? Am I getting paid to build a brand or am I paying to build a brand? I think I'm getting paid to do it. And it's like this gold rush because motherfuckers just refuse to learn it. So I'm like, okay, we're going to go all in. And I also spend we spent like $350K this month in July. And we go so aggressively because I understand that it may not be there tomorrow. I could wake up and literally not have this opportunity anymore. But then I could be like, well, cool. I still got the names, emails, and phone numbers of 300,000 entrepreneurs who follow us religiously. I'm going to fucking email them for a while and text them. Right? Distribution.
Wow. Crazy.
That was a lot. But yeah.
Woo! Bars. Really quick. Because I want to really hop on the YouTube.
Yeah.
I see the difference. You got the 5-second ad and you can skip it. And then I see ads that just, I have no choice. You have to watch it. Is that a difference in the marketing with those two?
When you're in there, they just give you an option of which type of ads that you want to do. But
what's
when
the better one?
Be careful. Usually when you can't skip it, they only last a certain amount of time. I think it's like, if it's like a bumper ad, I think you get like 6 seconds. And I think sometimes you may be able to do like a 15-second ad or whatever. There's a couple of settings that matter there. But you can't do it for that long where people can't skip it. But the thing is, it's just, they're humans, right? So if you're showing your advertisements to people and every time they see your ad, they know you're the not skippable motherfucker, they just start to get mad at you. Like think about it, the relationship just becomes like, this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Even if they like it. Yeah. And so not being able to give people the options is a little risky. And there's frequency capping. So you can say, hey, I only want to show people this ad X amount of times and all this.
That's crazy. And I remember you said to anybody out here listening, Billy said he will recommend you hiring a full-time person just for YouTube, just to learn YouTube. And I've been telling my different friends that, yo, he said, this is what I learned from the mastermind. One of the main keys, hire a full-time YouTuber to dissect YouTube and learn how to run ads.
If you master it, it changed your life. It changed ours. Changed our company structure, trajectory, sales, everything.
Yeah. Well, Billy, I truly appreciate the value that you gave to us on this call, man. I'm just grateful for you showing up because you do say no to a lot. So I thank you for saying yes. If you would like to close out with anything, any word of advice to up and coming budding entrepreneur who's just pushing to get to that next level, here you go.
You get paid for the problems that you solve. You solve small problems, you get fucking paid small. Small problem is right now, my daughter terrorizes my house. And when she fucks it up, I need someone to clean it up because I don't want to do it. Small problem, because a lot of people can solve that problem. You know, I may pay 10, 20, 30 bucks an hour, whatever it is to clean it. Okay. You want to fucking make a lot of money? Solve big fucking problems, right? Open heart surgery, that's a big fucking problem. You can charge a big ticket. And if you're sitting there right now and you're listening, you're saying, well, I can't really solve any problems. Be like, well, cool, that's why you're broke. Fucking learn how to solve something. Go to school. Wow. Learn a trade. That's the catch. But see, your unwillingness to have the patience to learn a new talent, a skill, is why you're stuck. And that's why you're always going to the entrepreneur things that require a low barrier to entry that are like bullshit. That's why you get sucked into the scams because it sounds so much nicer, right? Like, I don't want to fucking learn and go to school and do all these things or learn from somebody else or pay for coaching. I'd rather just do this thing where I can be a millionaire like this guy said on TV and not learn jack shit. Stop. Second you get real about it and realize you're going to have to put in some serious time is the second you can build long-lasting wealth because you'll have skill sets and things that people can never take away from you.
Facts. Thank you so much for this, guys. Listen, if you just tuned in this episode, you'll get to hear more about Billie Jean in the show notes. You'll be able to go sign up for all his amazing products and courses in that event in October. Tell us about that very quickly, because I'll make sure I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. SOG Summit, unlockthesummit.com is, I believe, the domain. Anyways, October 5th, for all our members in the School of Genius, we're having an event that's going to be world-class, unlike others. I got a lot of entrepreneurs coming to also speak and teach. Ones that you heard of, you've seen them before, extremely successful eight-figure guys, girls, that are just beast. And from 8:30 to 1:30 after the event, we're throwing a fucking sick-ass party for our geniuses in the gene pool, belly dancers, fire breathers, you know, entertain, educate, execute. I like to make it fun. So it's called the Soiree, the Genius Soiree, and it's a all-black affair. You know, everybody's going to be looking smooth, and it's going to be a night to fucking remember. And the during the day, what you're going to learn is transform your business completely. So unlockthesummit.com. Yeah.
Let's get it. Please, guys, support them. Listen, I just came from the Yacht Mastermind, blew my mind in a short amount of time. So once again, Billy, thank you so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate you. And guys, with this information, you should now be able to accelerate the great. See you guys.
I like that. Accelerate the great.